Today's episode is brought to you by personal injury and wrongful death attorney, Logan Quirk. Quirk Law Group is the go-to firm for all personal injury cases. Quirk means a peculiar trait, and the Quirk Law Group is distinguishable from the rest. Feel free to learn more at quirkwins.com. That's quirkwins.com. See how the quirky personal injury lawyer will help you. Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Walls Do Talk, a true crime podcast. I'm your host, Gabrielle Weimer. The last couple of weeks of work in the crime scene world have been so busy, but it's been great. We've had a lot of great results identifying suspects, finding all the crucial pieces of evidence. So it's been a good couple of weeks. I actually recently just took a road trip as well. I headed up about 8 hours north, and I was just flying down the highway by myself. And during that 8 hours, I don't know how many, garbage bags I saw on the side of the road and rolled up pieces of carpet. And I thought to myself, there has to be a body in there. I don't know how many of you do this when you're driving down a lone highway, but think, is that a body in there? Maybe some of you have actually even stopped and, checked it out. I never have. But if you have and you found something, let me know. I know there's a few cases that I actually worked on where people did. They were curious, and inside, well, there you go. There's a head, there's a leg. So it was pretty fascinating. Today, I want to share a story with you about a dead man's chip. Let's see. So it was the weekend, and I get a call that we possibly have a homicide. Sergeant gets on the phone, gives me a call, and lets me know that there is a dead guy in a car, and he's probably been there for some time. The twist on the story is that when they do get the call, they're also told that his adult son is claiming that he may have killed his father. So immediately when I hear those words, I'm like, okay, this is definitely suspicious. So I'm gearing up that this is going to be a homicide. And with that, I call my intern and I let her know, hey, what's going on? And we might have a homicide. So if you're not doing anything on this great Saturday and you want to come play, come meet me out at the location. And of course she does. She says, I'll be right there. She's pumped. So I arrive on scene and I greet patrol and I greet the officers and detectives. And here's what I see. Off of a main roadway, there's a small parking lot that's adjacent to a fast food restaurant. And in this small parking lot, there is a dark colored, kind of like crossover style SUV. And it's just parked there. And I can see that the front passenger door is open. And there's this huge amount of trash just spilling out of the passenger side onto the floor. Tons of trash. I mean, it's like a mountain of trash. As I make my way closer to the vehicle, I can now see inside and that the whole car is just jam-packed with trash. Now, it's a two-door. There's no four doors. So the back windows are kind of tinted, but I can still see it's just stacked high. I mean, there's food in there and garbage, clothing, paperwork, you name it. It's just jam-packed in there. So now I make my way to the driver's side of the vehicle. And when I get there, I'm immediately met with a large puddle of what looks like motor oil on the floor. But as I get closer, I realize it's not motor oil. It's bodily fluid. It's kind of has like this reddish tint and it has this sheen to it and it has a smell. So now I look into the driver's side window and there I can see our dead man. I can barely see the top of his head, which the skin is kind of like peeling off his scalp and it's a little bit discolored, but I can't see the rest of his body because he is literally covered with trash. There's boxes placed on him, cans of food, clothing, like it's just stacked. All I can make out is there's the top of his head and it looks like it's decomposing. So at that point, that's all I have. Officers have informed me that they took the young man back to the police department already to just start, trying to piece together the story and ask him some questions about what happened. Let me tell you how we got to this situation though. So like I said, it was a weekend and this parking lot is off of like a main busy street. And the police department gets a phone call from a passerby who says, hey, there's a guy that's naked outside his car at this parking lot and he's peeing everywhere. So the dispatchers send a couple of patrol units out there to see what's going on. When officers arrive, They see the vehicle and they see that there is a young man sitting in the passenger side of the vehicle. They can see that he's sitting on all this trash and that there's all this trash that had spilled out onto the floor. At this point, the young man is dressed. He has his clothes on. So the officers pull up, they greet him, and they say, "Hey, do you mind stepping out of the vehicle? We just want to know what's going on. What are you doing? Like, who are you?" So he starts answering their questions. And then they ask, "Well, is there anybody else here with you? Anybody else in the vehicle?" And he goes, yeah, my dad's here." They say, "Okay, they can't see anything in the car but trash." They say, "Where's your dad?" He said, "Well, he's in the driver's seat, but I think he's dead. And I think I may have killed him." Immediately, the officers are like, "What?" So investigation's on. They call, you know, the sergeants, they call detectives out, and they start talking to this kid and trying to find out what happened. Once they figure out who he is, they soon get to know that they are familiar with him. The young kid has had a few contacts with police in the past, and he's in his early 20s, but it's been heavily documented, and we're well aware of it, that he has the mental capacity that of a four-year-old, and that his father is his caregiver. So although they're dealing with like a early 20, 24-year-old man, they really are dealing with somebody whose mental state is that of a four-year-old. So they switch gears. They kind of take him in, take him to the station. And like I said, they're trying to figure out what's going on with him. And at that point, that's where I get called in. And that's when me and my intern, we show up. We're back to the scene now. Put on our Tyvek suit because it is absolutely disgusting. When myself and my intern get closer to the car, and I start documenting with photos. And once I finish that, I need to start combing through the car a little bit. And I'm looking for anything that's going to kind of tell us what happened here. I'm looking for weapons. I'm looking for any forms of identification. I'm looking for receipts. Maybe it has a timestamp on it so we can show maybe what was their last activity. You know, did they go to any stores recently? How long have they been parked, you know, at this location? All this stuff. And so we're starting to comb through the evidence, and it's just shit on top of shit, literally. Inside the car, there's cans, empty cans, food, trash, clothing, and it's covered in feces, it's covered in urine, it's covered in vomit, it's covered in maggots and mold and just fat leakage. It's absolutely disgusting. I had to keep telling my intern, like, "I'm sorry, I've done this for years, but I think I may throw up in my mask at this point." And she kept going, "It's okay, don't worry about it," because I kept gagging. Like, I had not been in something this bad in a long time. And so as we're combing through stuff and we're being very careful because we just don't want to get exposed to any of it, I remember picking up a piece of cardboard or something and I accidentally smacked her in the head and she just froze. And was like, "Gabby, what was that?" And I was like, "Oh my God, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I don't know, but let me wipe out the white crusty shit out of your hair." She's just like, "Oh." And I felt so bad, but I told her, "Don't worry, I'm going to take you out to eat something good for all your work here today. And I apologize for getting crusty, gross white stuff on your hair." So anyways, we're still coming through. And I get, you know, I get everything I can get out of the car. At this time, I can't move anything near the body. Because like I've said before, the body belongs to the medical examiner. We do not have ownership over it. We can't touch it, move it, anything. So at this point, I stop. And now we have, you know, detectives there. And we're kind of standing around. We're waiting for the medical examiner to arrive so that they can remove the body and we can see, hey, maybe there's, you know, like some sort of wound or what injury, what do we have going on? Because at this point, we still don't know if this is a homicide or not. So we're treating it as such. So at this time, we're standing around. There's a large group of us. We're standing around the car and we're just kind of talking. And one of the detectives taps me and he points to the dashboard inside the car. And there's a bag of chips that's been opened. And he says, "Hey, Gabby, how much would I have to pay you to eat a chip out of that bag?" And I look at him, I'm like, "Okay, we're going to play this game. All right." And so everyone's like, "Yeah, Gabby, how much will we have to pay you to eat a chip out of that bag?" Someone says like, $100. I'm like, "Hell no, I'm going to eat a freaking nasty chip for $100. And they're like, $500. And I kind of think about it and I'm like, no, not $500. $1,000. They said, "I'll pay you $1,000 to eat a chip out of that bag. I'm like, shoot, I'll do it for $1,000. And the whole, you know, group is like, oh, you're nasty. That's nasty, Gabby. And I look at them and I say, oh, I'm nasty. But how many of you were licking somebody's dirty asshole last night for free? And the whole, you know, the whole group was like, oh, that's a good one. You know, we just laugh because I'm like, hey, I'll eat a dead man's chip for $1,000, but you'll lick a butthole for free. Whatever, you know, so we kind of just joke and we were just laughing the rest of the time. And then finally, of course, like the medical examiner arrives for the big moment and we open the driver door and we see that there's kind of like a body seated in the driver's seat and we start removing pieces of trash off of him. And now he's fully exposed. We can see our victim. He's covered in maggots. He's been there for quite some time. I'm thinking he's been there for at least over a week because he's in advanced stages of decomposition. And so we finally remove him from the driver's seat and lay him on a tarp right there on the ground. And we slowly start taking his clothes off and we're looking for injuries. We're looking for, you know, stab wounds. We're looking for gunshot wound. We're looking for blunt force trauma, any trauma to his face, the head, hands, chest, but we don't see anything. All we see is just a normal decomposing body. And at that point, the medical examiner says, you know, until we do further on an autopsy, I'm still not seeing anything suspicious. So at that point in time, we're okay. We're thinking, okay, it looks like this guy may have died, you know, just from natural causes. The one thing we did notice, though, as we were moving pieces of trash off of him is that there were large handles of rum, empty bottles of rum. And I mean, probably at least 20 handles of rum that had been consumed. And so we're thinking, you know, maybe died of alcoholism, something in his body probably failed due to health reasons. So at that point, we feel a little bit better. Our investigation is coming to an end at that point. We're just going to, you know, pack all the trash back into the car, seal the car up, and take the car back to the station and hold it just in case something funky does appear during the autopsy or we find a little bit more information that starts leading us to believe that this could be a homicide. But the reason I wanted to share the story about eating the chip and licking buttholes is because oftentimes at crime scenes, you know, crime scene investigators, patrol, detectives, we're dealing with a very heavy situation. We're dealing with some very gruesome, horrific situations. And so, you know, when we're there, sometimes we need to bring dark humor in just to lighten up the mood, lighten up the situation a little bit. And so we need to laugh. We need to be jovial. We need to joke. And no, we're not laughing at the situation. We're not laughing at the body or the victim or the suspect or whatever's involved. We can probably be laughing about whatever else, but it's just to lighten the mood because you just can't sit there and, you know, really let all that, you know, that bad shit from that situation just soak in because it'll consume you. So if you often see, you know, detectives at a crime scene or, you know, patrol or whatever, and you see them standing around kind of laughing or doing what, no, we're not being disrespectful or not taking our job serious. We're just trying to lighten the mood so that we can do our job successfully. I hope that kind of makes sense. And just like at our scene, you know, we're standing around and the truth of the matter is that we had a young man who was in his 20s, but really had the mental capacity of a 4-year-old just sitting in his car probably for over a week with his father who was dead, who he obviously knew was dead and just slowly rotting. But he didn't have the will or the knowledge or the security to go seek help. He knew his dad was dead. He knew because he slowly started placing garbage and other items on top of him, probably to hide the maggots and the flies and the smell of death, or just the simple fact that he didn't have to look at him. So in essence, can you imagine if, you know, you have a 4-year-old, you that have young children, a 4-year-old, you know, not feeling safe enough to go seek help while their parent was dead and rotted to death in a car next to him. I mean, the young kid was eating garbage and moldy food for probably over a week because he couldn't go get help. So instead of sitting there thinking about that and letting that soak into my brain, I much rather think about, you know, eating a chip for $1,000 or licking someone's butthole. Like, it just is, you know, that's where we got to go. So instead of thinking of the darkness, you bring in a little bit of humor to alleviate that situation. So if you are ever out there and you see detectives on the TV laughing or at a crime scene laughing, just give us a little grace. Know that we are taking our job serious and we do care, but we all need humor to get by. So with that, I hope you enjoyed the story. I want to know if you got ever, you know, dared to eat anything gross and if you did. And no, I didn't eat the chip and no, I would never eat the chip. I mean, that's evidence. I would never fuck with my crime scene like that. But it's always fun to play what if. So I hope you enjoyed the story. I hope you're able to take away something from it. And till next time, I can't wait to see you all. Take care. Let me know if you ever stopped on one of the major highways and stopped to see if there was a dead body in a bag or rolled up carpet. And I want to know maybe what's the craziest thing you ever did on a dare or that you ever ate. Till then, take care. Have a good night. And I will see you next time.
Hey, it's Gabrielle. Thank you so much for listening. Please be sure to like, subscribe, and share. And visit me at thewallsdotalk.com. We look forward to hearing from you.